Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we talk about all things money, savings, spending and investment. You're with me, Kaizad Adajania, and I hope you all are safe and sound and taking good care of yourselves. Today, we're going to answer one of your most basic and frequently asked questions. How to select our financial advisor? Where to find her? Many of us need a helping hand to guide us through these turbulent markets. But would you be able to trust your advisor with your money? To answer these simple yet crucial questions, I'm joined by someone today who is a veteran in the mutual funds industry. He knows the importance of a good product, but he also understands the importance of a good advice and how valuable it can be in your long journey of wealth creation. He's going to tell us how to select a good advisor and where to find her. Please welcome Ajit Menon. He is the CEO of PGIM India Mutual Fund. Hi Ajit, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hi Kaizad, thank you very much. Doing all good and safe. Thank you very much for having me on this podcast.
Good. Ajit, we're talking about the need to have a financial advice, distributors, advisors. I mean, you've been in the business for a long, long time. You've interacted with large distributors, small distributors, you know, and also we've seen how, you know, the new breed of financial advisors called the registered investment advisors have also cropped up in the last 7 years. Simultaneously, direct plans are also a reality now for those people who want to sort of, you know, invest directly on their own in mutual funds. Of course, markets are getting complicated, so the need to have financial advice is essential. But, you know, there's always also truckloads of financial information over there, educational information over there, which sort of enables people to sort of also try and invest directly. The question, right, Ajit, is, does everyone need a financial advisor? Is it someone that you should have by your side?
Well, Kaizad, I think you need to approach this in a couple of ways. So theoretically, we've always read that if you have the time and the inclination and the understanding of, you know, financial principles and stuff, that you could probably manage some of this on your own. But I think the key is something that you said earlier, Kaizad, is that how do you define yourself? I mean, do you, you know, in India, and in my experience of having met many, many investors, I think that the key is that you've got to decide whether you're a saver or a speculator or an investor. You'll find all three types out there.
Okay.
And I think if you are talking, as you mentioned, of investors, which means that there is a sense of, you know, planning towards certain goals, then it is definitely important and helpful if you have a financial advisor by your side. Now, if I were to elaborate on that from a PGIM perspective, Prudential, the 10th largest asset manager in the world, as you know, we do a lot of, you know, financial wellness programs in the US. And there's a lot of surveys that have been conducted in the developed markets, very little in India. It seems to suggest that, you know, most people are much more happier, content and more productive if they feel that they have their finances in order.
Okay.
And to get your finances in order, it's always nice to get professional help. Just like health and wealth are two of the most important things that any self-respecting adult should have. And when it comes to health, you do look forward to either a nutritionist or a doctor or good advice, credible advice. It's the same thing when it comes to finance. And if you define yourself as an investor, a financial advisor definitely helps you in that process.
Okay.
It's a, you know, when you look at it, and I'm very struck by what Morgan Housel talked about in terms of managing money at the simplest level, right? The simplest level is a four-step process, which is you spend less than you earn, you save the difference, you invest it in a diversified portfolio, and you have patience. These are just the four steps. But to spend less than you earn, to invest in a diversified portfolio, to have patience, you know, these are very difficult things for a lot of people.
Correct.
And because money is emotional, and we, as you mentioned, you know, just at the introduction, that there is such a deluge of information out there, especially if you're digital, and most people are digital.
Correct.
In this, that deluge of information may end up confusing the different options, might bias you towards, you know, following the herd. And managing money is always about a discipline and being aware of those biases so that you have good outcomes. That's where a good financial advisor actually plays a role. Because it's not just about intelligence and about accounting principles. It's more about managing emotions and behavior. And that's where a coach, a financial coach or an advisor who acts like
It's also a lot psychological also. You have a psychological...
It is almost all psychological, I would
behavioral
say.
Behavioral also, to manage your behavior.
Yeah, I think that it is almost all psychological and about managing behavior when it comes to outcomes. You know, in prudential surveys in the US, they have found that, you know, over 35 to 40% of people do say that their productivity at work has been affected negatively because of financial constraints and worries and anxiousness related to finance.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Kezad, if you realize, health and wealth, if these are two important aspects for every adult, this is not taught in schools. So correct, we become adults and then we stumble into whatever advice we get from friends.
So that's always the grouse that we've had, that, you know, financial management is not taught in schools, they're not taught in colleges. So when you start earning your first salary, you're still unsure of basically, you know, how to manage your money at that time. I mean,
information sort of tends to push you in directions which may not have the best outcomes or may not be good for you. And that's where a good financial advisor actually is of great help.
So, Ajit, I started by asking you about registered investment advisors. That's a new breed of financial advisors. We already have had a distributors fraternity, a thriving distribution fraternity for years now. Okay. To clarify this basic for our listeners, what is the difference between a registered investment advisor and a distributor? You know, what's the difference between the two?
Well, Kezad, at the very technical level, I think the difference is more about the requirements of certification required on both sides, whether you're a distributor or whether you are a registered investment advisor. The certification requirements, the new rules that have been notified by SEBI, you know, sort of clarify that there are different requirements for RIAs.
Certifications you need to have, what experience you need to have, what net worth you need to have are all now pretty much defined for RIAs. So it is a technical difference, definitely in terms of the certification requirements and all of those for an RIA, which are overseen directly by SEBI, unlike distributors who are certified by the Association of Mutual Funds in India. And they also need to follow all the SEBI regulations, you know, laid down from a capital markets perspective. So that's the only technical difference, you know, between the two. But when it comes to intent in terms of being in charge of your financial wellness and working towards your financial wellness, I think both are, you know, definitely the same. The other difference that you will get potentially is the fact that the RIAs would be more financial plan driven compared to advisors who would be more looking at suitability of what is it that you're trying to solve for and offering you products and solutions for it. So that is the other difference that you will have. So if you're really looking forward to having a financial plan and getting your entire finances in order for short-term, long-term goals, an RIA is geared to offer almost all holistic, you know, options related to protection, savings, investments, wealth transfer, and all of that. So the difference also is in what might probably be offered in most cases. So that's really what the difference between the two is.
So basically, suppose if an investor is it possible to conceive of an investor or think of an investor who might not want a financial comprehensive financial plan, savings, investments, spending, inflows, outflows, et cetera, and just wants to sort of say, just wants to sort of invest a corpus of, let's say, 10 lakh, 20 lakh. You give me products that will give me about 10%, 12% returns on a compounded basis over a long period of time. Is it possible, Ajit, for any investor to have this kind of an aspiration and then ascertain that, okay, a distributor is basically a right fit?
Most definitely. But let me approach it differently. If you look at India, for instance, out of 130 crore population, we have a working population of about 47 to 48 crore in India. 50% of that population earns 5,000 rupees a month. So when you're earning something like 25,000 rupees a month, you're in the top 5% in India. If you're earning something like 15 lakh rupees an annum, for instance, you're in the top 1% in India. So really the need for a lot of Indians are savers at the basic level. So if you're looking at savings, then, you know, the distribution community is probably the best community that can allow you to help, you know, save properly. But the moment you step into surpluses which you want to invest, right? Then you need to really be looking at the experience of the person who is guiding you, whether that be a distributor or whether that be a registered advisor. Once you reach a point where you want to really have, like I said, those holistic solutions, you know, plan around long-term goals and things like that and get everything in order, then you can step one step ahead for into a registered investment advisor.
So there is a role to play for a distributor. There is a role to play for RIA. It depends upon the individual's aspirations, income levels also, affordability levels also, and then you decide whether you want a distributor or an RIA.
You're absolutely right. So those are the criteria that will, you know, help you decide where you want it, because it's not, you know, there is going to be some expenses around it as well and conveniences around it. So, you know, all of these factors will matter as to who would be most ideal for you, you know, your circumstances.
Ajit, how should I start looking out for an advisor? And by an advisor, I mean either a distributor or a registered investment advisor. Are there any websites where I can go and look for names? Or is it preferable, because they are going to be handling my money, should I only rely on word of mouth?
Well, I think that all of these work in parts, but let me start with the first one. If you're looking for AMFI registered distributors, you can head to the AMFI India website, which is amfiindia.com, and look for the investor corner or the distributor corner. I would advise to go to the distributor corner, where you would probably get a list of all the registered distributors in India under AMFI, which has you know, their addresses, and most of them have their contact details as well. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody who's close to you in your vicinity, that's one way to do it. If you're looking for a registered investment advisor who are, you know, all of these people who are registered with SEBI, you can head to the SEBI website itself, which is sebi.gov.in, and you will get a tab over there which where you see intermediaries. Registered intermediaries. And when you go to registered intermediaries, you can look for investment advisors in that list of registered intermediaries. And you will come up with a list of all the RIAs as far as India is concerned, close to about 1,400 people. Now, there is a difference in terms of how many of these people are actually active. Right? And actively giving, doing business, and what is their experience and things like that, which will matter a lot. So if it's an RIA, you know, now we have an association for RIAs, which is called the Association of RIAs, ARIA. And the ARIA website, which is the aria.org.in, also gives a list of its members who are largely active RIAs. So you could, you know, look at that. When it comes to on the distribution side, you know, while there are some associations, the best possible way could be to get references from your friends and family of people who have a good experience, who are in your vicinity, who are people around you who can offer you all the conveniences, whether it's physical or digital. And that could be another way to go about looking for whom you can talk.
But a simple Google search, I suppose, would be...
Well, I don't think that there is anything wrong in doing a simple Google search. But I would just think that since the credibility has to be established first, rather than just going into a Google search. Because, you know, today, if you were to just Google search for how do I select a financial advisor, Kaisa, you will get more than 22 crore results on Google, right? So, you know, you're looking for the credibility first, and therefore, you know, certifying authorities, whether it be SEBI or whether it be the Association of Mutual Funds in India, could be a starting point for you to look at it. But like I said, after that, you can always also rely on your references for people in your vicinity, in your peer group who has had got good experience of dealing with, you know, their advisor. Of course, it has to suit you. So there is a process that you need to do follow after that.
That is what I'm going to ask. That is what my next question was. How do you ascertain whether an advisor or a distributor is suitable to you? There is no past performance in mutual funds. If I want to invest in a mutual fund, there is a whole lot of data of past performance that I can get to ascertain whether the fund is done well, what has been the track record, fund manager and everything. For a distributor and an advisor, there is no such mechanism where I can get to know the person's past track record. So how do I ascertain after meeting this person whether we are the right fit or not? Any questions that you feel we should ask, quiz them to know whether the person knows, has product knowledge, or at least the person is not trying, will not try and missell something to me. The person will keep my interests, hopefully, over his or her commercial interests. How do I ascertain that?
You know, the way to ascertain that, like I said, is once you have probably sort of boiled down to a couple of people that you might want to talk to related to managing your money, as you mentioned, you ask them a couple of, you know, simple questions to try and figure out whether they would be suitable for you.
Okay.
In my perspective, I think that, you know, like I said, a Google search will throw up more than 22 crore or, you know, I've seen even 100 crore results for how do you select a financial planner and the different questions you need to ask and things like that. In my experience of having dealt with both the RIAs as well as distributors and as well as talking to a lot of clients, I think the key is first to look for experience. You know, how much experience does a person have? For how long has a person been actually managing financial products and solutions and financial planning, for instance, for clients?
Okay.
And the longer the experience, obviously, better. The reason I say that is because I am pretty convinced that it is not intelligence that matters. It is not always the certification and qualifications that matter. Because as we mentioned right at the beginning of this podcast, a lot of managing money is psychological. Almost all of it is psychological and behavioral. And I think whether you're an RIA or whether you're a distributor, if you have long years of experience of having dealt with customers, you sort of build up an instinct of how to guide the person in front of you. So when a client, as a client, if you ask somebody about whom you're trying to evaluate for being your financial advisor, whether RIA or distributor, I think the question on years of experience is probably the first one to ask, because that would mean that that person has the ability to, you know, guide you and coach you about what you might be picking up. Nobody's an expert to obviously get everything 100% right.
Correct.
Whether you're an RIA or whether you're a distributor. So a lot actually depends on the experience. So that's question number one. Question number two is, of course, to ask for the certifications and the, you know, sort of whether it is on the distribution side or on the RIA side, and personal qualifications as chartered accountant, CFA, CFP, or AMFI certification, whatever that be, to just look for the certification and the validity of those certifications.
This is so just to establish the authenticity.
Just to establish the authenticity, if you're dealing with completely new people, of course, many of them would obviously come through your references, so you may not need to worry. But at an individual level, it is best to clarify, and there's no harm in clarifying the authenticity of the certification.
Okay.
The third aspect, I think, is that you have to have a mental match with that person who's going to deal with you. And that is regardless of whether it's an RIA that you're looking for or a distributor you're looking for. I think the most critical aspect would be that mental match. And when I say mental match, it's about, are you comfortable when you have that discussion with that person about that person's philosophy of managing money and the kind of outcomes that they're looking for? And most critical within that is a question to ask about what is the risk management process that that advisor or distributor is following. I think that's the most important question from my perspective. So there are two sides of a coin, according to me, Kezad. An investor is looking for positive outcomes on portfolio, returns on portfolio.
Correct.
If returns are one side of the coin, then the other side of the coin is risk.
Risk.
And that is the role played by an advisor or a distributor. They're risk managers first, and then they are distributors or RIAs next. So asking that question about how do they manage risk for clients is a key question to ask. And that will give you some sense about, you know, how do they select products and solutions? What is the process that they will follow to begin with? Would they simply give you products, or would they ask you a few questions to understand what is it that you're aiming for? What is your suitability of risk and things like that based on your age, based on your circumstances, and then you know, give you the solutions over a period of time and help and handhold you through that process. So I think those questions about experience. About authenticity of their certifications, just to establish that, and most importantly, to find a mental match in the philosophy of the individual who will manage your money, and the most important within that is the risk management process that that individual follows. And if you are comfortable with what you hear in those four questions, you're good to go, according to me.
Okay.
Then comes the factors about convenience and, you know, is the person available for a physical meeting? Can I reach out to that person if I have a problem, or am I going to be put on to some junior team member? What am I comfortable with? You know, all of those things. And also, Kezad, I must add over here that it also depends about whether you're just looking simple solutions, or are you looking for a holistic approach to financial management. So Prudential globally, when we do our financial wellnesses program, we tell, we talk about the fact that an individual must be able to do three things. One is to understand protection at the most basic level, protection of income, protection of self. Second is about a sense about goals, right? And understanding budgeting as well. Right. So budgeting is about, you know, what is income, how much are you saving, and what are you doing about it, creating emergency reserves or investing it into solutions to get a return and, you know, meet your goals. So those three aspects of it, you know, budgeting, goal planning, and risk, those are the three things. So if you're looking for something holistic, you also want an advisor to offer you those holistic solutions. Okay. Maybe you want real estate advice. Maybe you want taxation advice as well. Maybe you want all kinds of insurance advice. Maybe you want to have a will made. Then those questions will also matter if you're looking for those solutions as part of what you want.
And also, you know, when we started talking about the track record of a financial planner or a distributor, this is something that we hear from some people, and something that only comes about after a period of time, you know, that sometimes there is a lot of churning of the portfolio. There is too much of buying, too much of selling. And rightly so, some people are quite uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, their distributor or their advisor also has been churning the funds a lot, like, let's say, in these kind of markets, when there's so much of volatility, every 6 months, every 7 months, there's a new fund coming in and there's an existing fund going out. Should you also keep an eye out on finer points like that over a period of time to ascertain whether your objectives are being met? Why is there so much of buying and selling happening?
Yeah. So, Kezad, yes, there is a lot of, you know, news articles out there related to churning and, you know, just selling products or pushing products and things like that. I think it's made out to be something larger than it is, because on average, I would say that 95% plus of the industry have done a great job in terms of, you know, whether they are actually, look at, you know, selling IPOs or NFOs today in the mutual fund industry on the distribution side. It's almost non-existent. I mean, there are people who support it and do it if the idea is good, but it's not like
the craze is not there. The craze
10 years
is not
ago.
There.
Yeah, it's not there. And I think that people have matured, advisors have matured. It is an evolutionary process, and I think things have got so much more better. The second aspect on this is that, you know, when we define, when we say things like churning, buying and selling products, you know, rebalancing is good. Rebalancing is important. And I think that, you know, there are some myths related to this, that just buy and hold is the best way to manage portfolios. It might be for certain clients, for certain purposes, but not for all. Okay. I mean, if you look at the corporates out there and the companies out there, and if you define that ultimately investing, as different from saving or speculating, as I mentioned earlier, is about buying good businesses for the long term, on the equity side at least, and I'm not touching on fixed income here, then you see the survivability of companies have come down very, very sharply from the 50s and 60s, where companies used to survive for 20 years plus. Now companies don't survive in the index for more than 5 years, you know, sometimes. So what that means is that there is a lot of disruption out there, and businesses are getting disrupted, and companies can actually rotate in a particular sector. So when you're looking at your investment, and if the core of that investment is about buying good businesses, at times you may need to rebalance your portfolios depending on what you're seeing. That frequency need not, it cannot be every 3 months and every 6 months, like you mentioned. It may be required every, you know, to review it almost on a, you know, 6 monthly basis or an annual basis to decide what that rebalancing should be. And that rebalancing can happen at an annual or a 3 year basis, depending on how far you are from your goals and things like that, right? So, yes, you should be on the lookout for not too much activity to, you know, happen. But at the same time, some activity to happen is important.
It's crucial. Ajit, very quickly, last question. There are a lot of online advisories also have cropped up in the last 5 years, thanks to increased digitization. And a lot of our young listeners, young readers, millennials, they're quite attracted to all these online advisories because it's so easy to onboard people. Especially when millennials are in their first job, second job, you know, in the first few years of employment, the propensity to save, the propensity to invest is not so much. So when it comes to planning your taxes at the end of the financial year, you just need a quick fix solution. And, you know, an online distributor is out there available 24/7. You can onboard everything, upload your Aadhaar and PAN, everything online. And within 10 minutes, you've already made your tax investment and your year's investment job is done. So, you know, how is this space coming up? What kind of value proposition do online advisories add? And to what extent we can use them?
At the heart of this issue is trust. Right? Okay. When it comes to money and managing money, you want to trust the person in front of you, your advisor, whether there is a physical person or a, you know, or an online advisor, correct? To me, in my experience, and when I, you know, when I do some training programs and presentations for advisors, we talk about trust having a formula. Okay. Trust, according to us, as a formula, is equals to empathy plus credibility. And that's what trust is, right? Okay. Now, when it comes to, therefore, money, I believe that empathy plays a very large part and credibility plays a very large part as well.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to online advisors, credibility, no problem. Okay. All of them are certified, registered, follow very due diligence processes of product selection, solution selection. They offer you the convenience. So all of that is available.
Okay.
And therefore, for a lot of millennials or a lot of young advisors or even older advisors now, I think that as long as you're getting the convenience, you know, for your investment, your solutions, there's no harm in using online advisors. The trend seems to be, however, that beyond a certain value of investments, when a person crosses a certain value of investments, and that could be 5 lakhs or 10 lakhs, it depends from person to person, they always like to have a person to talk to and a person to meet and discuss.
Because,
you know,
the stakes also,
and that's
get,
where
the stakes get
higher. But I think more than the stakes getting higher, I think, Kezad, this is this issue of empathy. Like I said, I think empathy is core to the financial advisory business. So if you are looking at, as I said, India is more about savers, then, you know, online advisors and online solutions can help you in saving phenomenally well. And I think that's therefore been one of the biggest, best developments that have happened in India with all of these online advisors.
It actually gets people in and encourages them to that, put their first 1,000, 20,000, 50,000, at least to get
lakh,
them
2 lakhs, whatever. Yes.
At least get them habituated to the habit of investing. And then, as you said, once the corpus becomes larger and you need to talk to someone, that's probably when you can shift perhaps, you know, to a physical advisor, and maybe you can even afford one, or maybe even a very good distributor also comes with a tracker, but it is somebody you can see face to face.
That's correct. So there will always be some people who will find it okay, even with large amounts, to be with online advisors because it fulfills their purpose. But I would think that that would be the exception rather than the norm. So if you think of all of this like a bell curve, the large population of people will, at a certain point of time, will need that empathy to kick in for that trust to build up. And that can only always, according to me, be done by a physical person in front of you. There's nothing to say that many of these digital advisors will also opt for connecting with real relationship managers at the back and, you know, have such kind of, you know, maybe audio or video, you know, conversations. And that can also, you know, be a model that will develop over periods of time. But I do think that to me, the empathy factor comes with face-to-face with an individual whom you can connect with, even if it's a couple of times a year. And that's where I think both of these models will survive and scale in a country like India, where penetration is still low.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ajit, for your time. I think you've solved a number of the doubts in people's minds, and very basic doubts, like, you know, how to select a financial advisor. Should you go to a distributor? Should you go to an advisor? What are the things that you should see when you select one, to ensure that you have sort of a best friend by your side managing money and hand-holding you through these tough, difficult, volatile markets. Thank you so much, Ajit, for your time and patience. Thank you.
Thank you, Kezad. Thank you for having me on this podcast. My pleasure.
That's all from us, folks, today. We hope we have eased your difficulty in searching for a good financial advisor. If you have any questions, feedback, or comments, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com.